Zat. Attributes and sifat are nothing but his essence. So once we realize this about his essence, then we will have the correct attitude towards the essence of Allah, the attributes of Allah as well. So this is where in the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, كُلَّمَا مَيَّزْتُمُوهُ بِأَوْهَامِكُمْ في أدق معانيه مخلوق مصنوع مردود مصنوع مثلكم مردود إليكم So that's the hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So, and this hadith is narrated in Bihar, volume 66. Volume 66 and page number 293. So basically, we learn from this hadith that whatever you distinguish with your imaginations, fi adaqqi ma'anihi, in the most precise of its meanings, مَخْلُوقٌ مَصْنُوعٌ مِثْلُكُمْ is a creation. That whatever we imagine about Allah in our minds, in our brain, by brainstormings and imaginations, that's our, this imagination and vision that we acquire is our own creation of the mind. It's our own creation. مَصْنُوعٌ, it's made by us. It's a made thing. مِثْلُكُمْ, similar to your own selves. Similar to yourselves. Mardudun ilaykum is going to return back to you. That means it has nothing to do with Allah. That's your own, you know, vision, your own view, your own imagination. That's not Allah. So anything that you may try to distinguish through your brainstorming in the most precise of the meanings that you may believe that is very precise about description about Allah, that's your own creation. That's not the creator. It's you created it in your mind. That's not Allah. That's similar to you. We are also a creation. This is also a creation of our mind. So basically, we need to realize that this is where we stand. Before we go forward, we need to understand. And another hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, "Lam yutla Allahu subhanahu al-uqul." This is another very important thing mentioned in the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam. لَمْ يُطْلِعِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الْعَقُولِ عَلَى تَحْدِيدِ صِفَتِهِ على تحديد صفته ولم يحجبها أمواج معرفته So, and this Hadith of Imam Ali al-Islam is narrated in Ghurarul Hikam, which is a single volume book. Ghurarul
murarul hikam.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn from this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not shut down the intellects of the people about, Allah did not tell Allah did not inform, Allah did not tell the intellects of the people about describing the limits of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tahdhees of sifatihi means describing the sifat of the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kunhu zat of Allah, kunhu of the sifat of Allah, and we know the sifat are ainu zat. So the attributes are nothing but his essence. So he did not, tell the intellects to limit the essence of himself, and at the same time, he did not, and walam yahjubha, did not block the intellects from the waves of his ma'rifat, in depth recognition. That means on one hand, so we don't believe in neither ta'til. That's very important point we learn in the light of this hadith. Ta'til is one extreme, and tashbih is another extreme. We believe in neither ta'til nor tashbih. Ta'til means shutting down our intellect totally. So we don't even turn towards recognizing Allah. No, this is not what has been said. It's wajib to recognize Allah. Wajib to recognize that Allah exists and his attributes are such and such and such. Isn't it right? But recognizing the in-depth of the essence, that's not in our reach because it's limitless. And tashbih means relating Allah towards or ascribing the attributes of creatures for Allah. Allah has none of the attributes of any creature. Any attribute that belongs to the creature cannot be found in the Creator. None of the attributes of the creatures are in the Creator. So this is called tashbih. That means you similarize Allah with his creatures. Allah has no similarity with his creatures. So this is the balance. Now, having this little prelude about the essence and the attributes of Allah, now let's move forward to the next step, which is about the justice of God. Now, question number one, which is raised when we start the subject of justice, is, wa alaykum as-salam, why the justice? Why the justice has been singled out? So we have a whole bunch of attributes of Allah, isn't it right? Why are we singling out one of the list of attributes and removing all and not discussing the rest? So Allah is Razzaq, he's the one who provides sustenance, he's Rahman, all merciful, Rahim, the compassionate, isn't it right? And Al-Qadir, all powerful, Al-Hayy, the living, and so forth. So why did we single out the justice? Well, several reasons. First of all, the first reason is that justice is is fundamental in its importance. To understand the rest of the attributes, in order to understand the rest of the attributes of Allah, it's fundamental. Razzaq returns back to justice. Allah, everything, all the attributes, because Allah is just. The meaning of justice, when we come to the meaning, then we realize why all the attributes return back to understanding the concept of justice first. First things first. So because of the fundamental importance of justice, all the attributes return back to this concept. Second reason why we chose the justice and single out instead of discussing any other attribute in the list of the usuluddin, the roots of the religion, the basic beliefs of Islam. The second reason is that in the beginning of Islam, right from the beginning, the dispute happens. And Muslim community is divided into two. One is called the, you know, one is called the Adliya, and one is called the Ghair Adliya. The justice believers, those who believe in justice of Allah, and those who are non-believers in justice. The Muslim community got divided right from the beginning into these two categories. Among the non-believers in justice is the very famous sect of the Sunni brothers in the belief. Sunni brothers have four sects in their fiqh, in their everyday practical laws of Islam. In the Usuluddin, in the belief system, their Sunni brothers have two sects. One is called the Asha'ira, and the other one is called the Mu'tazila. Okay, so where in the right in the beginning of Islam, the Muslim community divided into two beliefs. Some believed in the justice of God, some disbelieved in the justice of God. Those who disbelieved were the Asha'ira. It's a significant number of people who ended up saying, Allah, justice and injustice, justice and oppression has no meaning for Allah. Everything is belongs to Him. Whatever He does is okay. What do you mean by whatever He does is justice? Whatever He does is okay. So if Allah can send Yazid to the Jahannam, that's okay. If Allah sends, you know, any criminal of the planet, all the criminals, all the bad doers to paradise, and all the criminals to paradise, and all the good doers into the hellfire, is okay. Because justice and oppression doesn't mean nothing for Allah. He is an all-powerful Lord, He can do whatever. We say, no. There are certain principles and values. Allah has certain principles, and He operates according to those principles. He cannot go lawless. So this is the lawless behavior, isn't it? And it's totally unintellectual to say. But this is what they ended up saying, Asha'ira. Now, those who believe in the justice were two. Mu'tazila is another sect of the Sunnis. Brother, I told you they are in the belief system in the Usuluddin, the Sunni brothers have two sects, Mu'tazila and Asha'ira. So Mu'tazila did believe in the justice of God, and also the Shias believed in the justice of Allah. And because in order to distinguish between the Shias and the Mu'tazila, so commonly the word Adliya, Imamiyya was mentioned to distinguish between the Shias and the Mu'tazila, because Mu'tazila believes in the justice of Allah, but they don't believe in the 12 Imams. Whereas the Shia believe also in the justice plus the 12 Imam concept. So that's why the Shias are referred as Adliya and Imamiyya. So this is how it happened. In order to distinguish between such a big rift taking place in the belief system right from the beginning of Islam, it was important to single out the concept of justice and mention it separately, you know, as one of the Usuluddin. And also, it's an Amr bil Ma'ruf. You know, it's also an Amr bil Ma'ruf, a constant Amr bil Ma'ruf towards those who don't believe about the justice of God. We are doing the bidding the good and forbidding the bad. We are telling them that this is not right what you are doing. So this is a very short, much has to be said, with all those various statements and their references of their various leaders who said what and when. But obviously, our 40 minutes or 45 minute speech is simply not suitable for all those details. Now, meaning of justice. Coming to the next question that arises in the concept, what's the meaning of justice? Question number two. Question two of this discussion is, what does justice mean? Okay, the meaning of justice, there are two meanings for justice, and adl, the word adl in Arabic, has two meanings. The first is placing everything where it belongs. وضع شيء في محله. Placing everything where it belongs. And our scholars say this meaning is what is understood from the hadith of Rasulullah, where he said, "Bil adli qamat as-samawatu wal-ard." Very, very famous hadith of Rasulullah, where he has said, "Through the justice, the heavens and earth are standing." Qamat as-samawatu wal-ard. So everything in the universe that is created by Allah, every particle is placed where it was supposed to be placed. That's justice of Allah. It's through the justice that the heavens and earth are standing. So every atom of the universe is placed appropriately, rightfully, correctly, the way it was supposed to be placed. That's the meaning number one. And the second meaning of justice means ri'ayatul haqq wal istihqaq, that means taking care of giving everything what it deserves to get. That's where the meaning of justice commonly derived by the people when we talk about justice in everyday conversation, we actually are trying to talk about this meaning. We are trying to say that once something is not treated the way it was deserved to be treated, so there is an injustice taking place and there is an oppression and zulm. Opposite to that is oppression and zulm. Although in Arabic also we have two words that we commonly use. And the hadith also is frequently used about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's government. One is adl and the other one is qist. The two words in Arabic, isn't it right? So adl and qist. And the opposites of those two are also zulm and jawr. So zulm and jawr. So basically, in English we just say oppression, but obviously there is much more to it. Zulm actually means that you take away the haq, the right of something from that thing. Take away it right, its right. That's called zulm. You take away and you keep it to your own self. That's called zulm. But if you take away and you give it to someone else who does not deserve it, you did not give the right to the one who deserves. You took it for either yourself, that's called zulm, or to someone else, that's called jawr. If you give it to someone else, or you divide that thing after usurping from the owner, you divide it among certain other people with discrimination. You're discriminating it, giving to some others and not giving to some others. This is also part of the concept of jawr. So both of them are against the concept of adl, and both of them are not acceptable in Islam. When we say adl, when we use the word adl, obviously for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, both of the things apply. Both of the meanings apply for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is placing everything of the universe. Allah is adil and just, so He's placing everything in the universe where it was supposed to, where it belongs. And plus, Allah is taking care of everything and giving everything what it deserves to get, and not giving something what it does not deserve to get because it doesn't deserve it. So both meanings for justice apply for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is
this is it should also be kept in mind that in Islam we do not believe we don't believe in equality, which is widely promoted in the West. There's no room for equality in Islam at all. We believe in something superior to equality, that is justice. Isn't it right? Justice includes all what equality has to offer to humanity plus more, what equality cannot offer. So we believe in something superior, so there's no room in Islam for equality. We don't believe that, that there is equality. There should be equality. We believe there should be justice. So yes, sometimes justice dictates equal behavior, then we will do the equal behavior, not because Islam believes in equality, that's why we are doing the equal behavior. No, we are doing an equal behavior in certain places because justice dictates the equal behavior in those places. And some other places we will not treat things equally because justice does not dictate equality in those places. We believe everything should be given what it deserves. Obviously, who can determine? The Creator. The Creator has the right to determine which thing deserves what. So this is about, I'm moving forward with a lot and leaving huge discussions are there between the, even among the Muslim sects. I'm skipping all those because obviously that's maybe for some other time if Allah allows, but this is a very short description of the Islamic beliefs and the time will not permit. So, and the third question, which is related to the discussion of justice that we need to understand, is the concept of husn and qubh, the good and the evil. The concept of the good and evil, a very elaborate discussion in Islam, and a lot has been said by various groups and religions about that. This itself is like subject of several volumes to be talked about. So in very, very short words, there are people who believe that the human intellect is simply unable to understand what is good and what is evil. We strongly disbelieve in this notion. In the Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we believe that human intellect is empowered by Allah to distinguish between what is good and what is evil. We are supposed to distinguish between what is good so we can follow it and do it, and what is evil so we can distance ourselves and disassociate ourselves from the evil. So much so that there were people who ended up saying that don't talk bad against nobody, because we are who to determine who is right, what is right and what is wrong. We are simply not empowered to judge what is good and from what is evil. Even a person may be doing heinous crimes against humanity, and there were some and there are some still who say, don't judge. Don't say that they are doing wrong. Leave it upon Allah only. So Allah is the one who sent the books on the messengers. Why did he send? He should have kept his knowledge to himself. Why in the world Allah bothers to send this information about good and bad in the books? So we end up knowing what is good and we differentiate and follow the haq and become ahlul haq, the followers of haq, and distance from the batil and falsehood and disassociate from the followers of batil. And do amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad. So there are people who want to run away from their bads and evils and crimes with all the injustices that they may be doing. They want to run away and escape from it all and expect the rest of the humanity not to even condemn what they are doing. And don't try to even do the amr bil ma'ruf or nahy anil munkar towards their wrongs. So they end up saying, don't judge. So we are not judging on our own selves. We are judging based on what Allah himself told in his revelation. Why did he tell if we are not supposed to adopt that knowledge?
But this is exactly what happened. So you find harams have been promoted, and so much promoted that harams became the norm of certain societies. Isn't it right? And good deeds and values became anti-values in certain societies. Why? Because the good was never recognized to be good. In fact, it was opposed. And the bad was never opposed. And those who opposed were condemned. And it was promoted that don't try to judge things. Leave it on Allah alone. That means ignore the revelation of Torah and Injil, you know, Torah and the Gospel and the Quran and the rest of them. Just ignore what Allah has already told you. So that would be a useless act of Allah, God forbid, if we are not here to benefit from what He already told from His knowledge.
So this is, it's a very elaborate discussion, like I said. I'm just touching base on that and moving forward. We in the Islam of Ahlul Bayt strongly believe that we are empowered with the one of the biggest blessings of Allah, the intellect. We are empowered by Allah through our intellects that He blessed to distinguish between what is good and what is bad. We should distinguish what is good and start following that, and this should distinguish what is wrong and falsehood and batil and shar and evil, and distance and condemn it, and ask people to do the good, and stop doing the wrong. So when this is established, this is why it opens the door that when aql, which is a blessing from Allah Himself, can distinguish the good from the evil. So this is why we can find and discover that whomsoever Allah sends for our guidance has to be the one who stands for goodness and justice. Because Allah Himself opposes the evil, and Allah is the one who empowers us to distinguish. So because He empowers us to distinguish the good from the bad, so Allah wants us to distance from the bad and do the good. That's why He's empowering us. Isn't it right? So because He wants us to follow the good and not to do the bad and evil. So Allah loves the good and dislikes the evil. And when this is settled, because Allah empowered us, so He wants us to distinguish. When He wants us to distinguish, so we should distinguish. Because Allah likes the good and hates the evil. So this is where we will end up believing whomsoever messenger Allah will send, or imam Allah will send, or a prophet Allah will send, and Allah gives them the miracle, that prophet or imam or the messenger will never be a liar. So Allah is not going to arm a lying prophet with the miracles, because Allah hates the evil. So we end up believing that when there is a prophet or a messenger or an imam showing miracles to us, it has to be nothing but the truth. So if you cannot distinguish the evil from the good through your intellect, how would you distinguish, even if a prophet comes with a miracle, how would you understand that this prophet is lying or he's telling the truth? Maybe if, God forbid, we cannot distinguish through our intellect, then it would be a possibility a prophet is lying. If Allah can do whatsoever He wishes, it would be okay for Allah to then send down a lying messenger and support him with a miracle to end up support the lying project and lying agenda of Allah. But Allah Himself condemns it, and He asks us to distinguish so we don't end up following. So it's not possible for Him to empower a lying person with miracles. So whenever a prophet or an imam or a messenger comes with a miracle, we need to accept and certify and endorse that prophet. So everything of the teachings of the books of the God, following the teachings and not distorting it, depends on the concept that first and as a fundamental principle, did you accept that we are empowered by the grace of God and His blessing to distinguish between good and the evil or not? This is the very, very rock bottom fundamental difference between us and so many in the society. We still have, I think, 3 or 4 minutes. So we believe after that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is justice, is just because of several reasons. I am mentioning just few of them for now. Dhulm and injustice or jawr can be done if a person A is either ignorant. So because of his ignorance, he ended up doing an unjust behavior towards somebody. Or B, because a person or someone is needy, he's in need. That's why he ended up doing what he doesn't deserve to do, to fulfill his own needs in ihtiyaj. Or third of all, the third reason, possible reason why someone can do injustice is because he's unable to acquire those goals without the justice. Inability. He cannot provide the rights to those who deserve it. So it's a lack of ability from his behalf to ensure the rights of everyone are received by those who deserve. The person is unable to secure the rights of everyone. So because of the inability, everyone's rights are not secured. So fourth reason for the possible reason for the justice is ego of a person. So when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's neither ignorant, nor he's muhtaj and needy, nor Allah is unable, and obviously he has no ego. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tahir and tayyib from all the najasat and evils. And Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. So it's impossible to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not adil. Now, Quran is full of verses, dalilun naqli, the narrated evidences. There are so many verses from Holy Quran in Surah Yunus. I'm not going to write down the verses right now. Time is almost running out. In Surah Yunus, verse 44, Allah says, "Inna Allah la yadhlimu an-nasa shay'an, walakinna an-nasa anfusahum yadhlimun." Allah doesn't do no injustice towards the people. People do injustice, zulm, over themselves. People are doing zulm. Allah doesn't do no injustice towards anyone, towards the people. "Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala zarratin." Surah An-Nisa, verse 40 says, Allah does not do even a bit, zarra, even a small particle, even a small bit of zulm. That's Surah An-Nisa, verse 40. Also, in Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. We are going to install the scales of justice on the Day of Judgment, and no one will be subjected to zulm. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands for justice and opposes the injustice. And not just that, but he's asking us, and that's in Surah An-Nahl, verse 60, where Allah is asking us, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan." Allah commands to justice and ihsan and ita'i dhil qurba and giving away towards the relatives, and wa yanha anil fahsha, and stops from the bad acts, and wal munkar wal baghi, and the munkar and the zulm. So Allah is stopping us from all those wrong things and promoting, asking us to follow justice in our own lives. So I will end my lesson on this ayat of Holy Quran, which serves as a principle and a policy matter of every Muslim. Every Muslim's life's policy should be based on what we learn from this verse, from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 279. Al-Baqarah, I'm writing the reference because this is a policy matter. Every verse is a policy, but Al-Baqarah, this is short and concise. Surah Al-Baqarah and verse number 279. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran,
that la tazlimuna wala tuzlamun.
So we learn in from this verse that don't do zulm on anyone, and don't let the zulm be done on you. That's the policy matter of Islam. Muslims are not supposed to do zulm on anyone. Also, we are not supposed to allow anyone to do zulm on us. That means we stand, we take a stand, we don't go let it go silently. We take a stand over the zulm because we are the ones who believe in the justice, and justice phenomena appears on all the attributes of Allah, appears in the prophethood concept that we will learn inshallah, and the imamat concept and justice concept has its impacts in all the teachings of Islam, which are part of the furu' deen and the practical laws of Islam. Justice is, its impacts are found everywhere in the religion Islam, just like its impacts are found in every particle of the universe. Nothing of the universe is free from the concept of justice of God. Yes, there are so much objections done by the disbelievers throughout the history about earthquakes taking place, about hurricanes, tornadoes, storms, tsunamis, so much of the natural disasters taking place throughout the history. A lot of disbelievers and communists have been objecting on Islam and Allah throughout the centuries because of those disasters, and saying that Allah is not just because of these disasters happening. And it will be just like the case if you are, if you are walking by a building that has been being demolished. So all the dust is settling and spreading all the way. If somebody says, well, this is too bad because it's causing dust and all the hardship for you when you're walking next to the building, but the person who is objecting failed to realize that they are bringing down this old useless building, or this old building, and going to construct a hospital in its place. This person who is objecting on the demolition failed to realize what's the plan of the one who is demolishing it. So the reason why all these objections are done is our ignorance, our knowledge. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We have not been given the knowledge except less. Because we don't know, we will always continue to object just because we don't know it. Isn't it right? Because of our ignorances, we end up doing the objections. There's much more larger picture and much more wiser, ecosystem balance available in the universe that is there. But just because we did not discover it, so we end up doing all those objections. So, وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I can take one question from the sisters and one question from the brothers before we start the dua al-iftitah, inshallah. Like I said, this is a huge, elaborate discussion to talk about adl. And I just tried to touch base on some of the key issues of the discussion, but there's so much to talk about. It's not a subject for 40 minutes, certainly. Yes, please. Well, there's no distinction between attributes and the essence, because we believe that attributes are the essence and essence is the attributes. The same who is Al-Alim, the all-knowledgeable, is the one who is Allah. And the same one who is Al-Qadir, the all-powerful and all-strong, is the one who is Allah. And the same one who is Ar-Rahman is the one who is Allah. And the same one who is Ar-Rahim is the one who is Allah. So Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahman is Allah. Al-Alim is Allah and Allah is Al-Alim. So they are not two things. It's just one thing being referenced in various names. That thing is one. It's not multiple. Attributes are not added on later on to be a secondary or second thing for his existence. Its existence is only one and alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. All the attributes are his essence. Wahy is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. And wahy, we are going to come to wahy in the discussion of prophethood very soon, inshallah. There are three meanings of revelation in our Islamic belief system, how the wahy happens. So we will come to all those three meanings of the wahy. But the answer to your question is that wahy comes from Allah himself, yes. Not from anyone else or it's from Allah himself. He is the source. No, because attributes are him. So it's coming from the same Allah. Yeah, there are obviously signs in some of the ways of the meaning of wahy, like if a messenger, not all the time, not every time the wahy comes, a messenger sees Jibreel. Not every time. We'll come to that discussion, inshallah. Not every time, but some of the times a messenger may see Jibreel. Some of the times the Jibreel, the archangel may talk from behind the curtain. Messenger is not able to see him, but he receives the message from Jibreel. So there are various ways adopted by Allah according to his wisdom for various messengers in various situations. So basically, not every time a prophet may be able to see Jibreel. But our Holy Prophet used to see him very frequently. Any question from the sisters?
Yeah, one question basically for the youth, because I ask this a lot. Could you give an example where justice or equality would be justice or equality would not be justice?
Yeah, equality, okay, justice becomes... justice asks us to do equality. For example, the war booty, maal ghanimat, ghanaim al-harbiyya, the war booty has to be distributed equally among those warriors who have equal share in the jihad. So justice dictates that the war booty should be distributed equally between all those warriors who have equal share in the jihad. So this is what justice says. They all have an equal partnership in the assignment. They all need to be rewarded equally. So we do equal share to all those who have equal effort because the justice says that. Correct. Or if you put a burden, if you ask a woman to carry a weight which is equal to the weight of a man, equal to the weight that given to a man, that's injustice. Because obviously, she has a weaker capability to carry the weights. So that's injustice. That will be equality, but it's injustice. Or if you treat all the students of a class with equal marks, that's equality, musawat, but that's injustice. Those who have worked hard should get more numbers, and those who did not work hard should get less numbers. Or those who didn't work at all should not get no number, zero. That's justice.
وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.